The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
There was a very turbulent flight. As we were coming in, it kept getting rougher and rougher. I was very, very shook up. I got off the plane. Everyone around me seemed like they were okay, and I was not. As soon as I got back into the airport, I burst into tears, and I was just sobbing uncontrollably, and it wouldn't stop.
Suffering with undiagnosed PTSD, Janelle Bruland turned her pain into power.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. This is Belinda Lane. Are you happy?
I'm happy to be here. I am happy all around because we have an amazing guest today talking about happy.
Talking about happy, and not just happy, but something a little deeper.
That's right.
Deeper. All right. Janelle Bruland, welcome to Life Today.
Thank you.
Great
I'm
to
honored
have you
to be
program.
Here.
I want to show people your book. This is called Your Way Back to Happy. And we're going to get into that, but let's just pause for a second and self-assess, because God talks about joy and he says he wants us to have it, but yet a lot of us are really looking like we got zero going on.
He even says
here.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Is our strength,
yeah.
Right? Maybe that's why we're, okay. So Janelle, welcome by the, again, but a little bit of, give us a little bit of this, your way back to happy kind of idea. Where does it come from?
You bet. Well, your way back to happy, how to turn the pain of your past into a future of freedom, purpose, and peace. Mm. And it's really about my journey of how I discovered I had some unresolved pain in my life. And I thought that I was happy, everything was going really well. And then it was my discovery of that I actually had some deep pain that was buried that I needed to deal with. And my journey to get back to happy at a level that I had not known before.
You have an interesting story in that this discovery of this pain that you had came at a very unique place. Can you just go into a little bit about your story, about how you recognized you did have some past trauma you needed to deal with?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I was returning home from a weekend away with a girlfriend. We'd had a lovely time. Those times away where you see a friend maybe you haven't seen in a number of years, and it feels like yesterday that you were together, and we had great meals, beach walks, and coming back home from California to Seattle, there was a very turbulent flight, and as we were coming in, it kept getting rougher and rougher. And I was getting really nervous about it. And as it continued to pitch and turn, I'm thinking, okay, what are we gonna do here? And finally the pilot came on and he said, we are gonna have to turn back the plane due to a storm. And so we turned back to the airport. We landed the plane. I was very, very shook up. I got off the plane. Everyone around me seemed like they were okay, and I was not. As soon as I got back into the airport, I burst into tears, and I was just sobbing uncontrollably, and it wouldn't stop. And I called my husband. I said, I am not getting back on the plane. You need to come get me. And anyway, I made my way back home. But what I realized is that was a turning point for me. Something was going on. I needed to figure out what was happening because this was very unlike me. And what I discovered is I had trauma that was unresolved, that was making its debut in the middle of the airport. Mm-hmm. And it was time for something that I had buried for so long, so deeply that I didn't even realize was there. And it was time for me to heal it.
Okay, I hate flying too. I really hate turbulence. But, I mean, so it seems justified to me mm-hmm. for you to be shook up after a turn back kind of flight.
Sure.
Right? Because that's rough.
Right.
It's very real.
Right.
What an imaginary storm. What did you find was very real in your life, but yet something that you couldn't prevent you from ever flying again, right? In other words, couldn't
right.
prevent you from moving on in life, because I think that's where people get hung up. This mm-hmm. is a very real thing.
Right.
This storm is very, very real. This turbulence, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now I can't move on. But you're saying that there's a way to to deal with it, to push through, to move on?
Absolutely, in the right way. So I became curious of what was happening to me, this anxiety that had built up and just overflowed and that I couldn't get control of. I knew that there was something that I need to deal with it. And I believe that I was ready to do the work. Hmm. And you have to be ready to do the work to heal yourself when you find yourself like this. And so I went and I got a brain scan, and from that found out that even though I was very high functioning and was successful in the world's terms, I actually had this unresolved issue of PTSD. That was the diagnosis. So the amygdala in my brain, which typically when you look at a brain scan should be dark and calm, mine was lit up like the 4th of July.
Wow.
And that meant that my body was in this flight or fight mode, that I felt in my body like I was being chased by a tiger all of the time. And that was because I had pain that I'd had in my life from chronic trauma for years. Wow. That I had just put away. And I think as a high achiever, oftentimes, and I'm a business leader, entrepreneur, we say, pain, what pain? We're going to just push through that.
I eat pain for breakfast.
Yes, yes. We're just going to push through that and have that tenacity. It makes us better. And instead, that was not the way to be dealing with it, that I actually needed to heal instead.
What I find interesting about that is you kind of, you know, had this what pain kind of attitude, but your body was keeping a score all along.
Yeah. Exactly.
And at some point, there was going to be a trigger where your body said, I've had enough.
Right.
And that was that moment. So continue telling us from that moment, even after this brain scan, you're hearing the words PTSD. Was this confusing and shocking to you to get that diagnosis?
Yes, completely. So we had these brain scans, my husband and I. We actually did it for our 50th birthday. We decided that we were going to get everything checked out, our heart, our brain, and make sure that we were performing at optimum level and get that baseline to take the best care of ourselves. So we went in for a brain scan to be able to find out a baseline, see how we were doing, improve the health of our brain. And the doctor sat us down afterwards and said, okay, do you want to be together when we have the results? And oh yeah, sure. And they went over grams. And then he said to me, do you know what PTSD is? And I said, well, yes. I mean, if somebody comes back from the war, they may have PTSD. They've been through just severe trauma in their lives. And he showed me the brain scan of a chronic PTSD person and had that amygdala lit up like that. And he said, this is the brain scan of a typical PTSD patient, and here's yours. And it was identical.
Wow.
And he said, Janelle, you've obviously been through some severe trauma in your life. And it was a mic drop moment. I had no idea. Yes, I'd been through challenges, but I thought I had been past that.
When the doctor talked about the PTSD and you remembered the trauma that you're speaking of, was it obvious to you? Were you like, oh yeah, I know exactly what that trauma was? Or were you having to go far back? Like, what is the trauma that you're speaking of? Do you mind sharing that for the audience?
No, absolutely. So years before, so I had been in my first marriage, I'd been married to an addict. And we had that up and down roller coaster ride of living with someone with an addiction. And I believed that you stay with somebody in sickness and in health. And my husband was sick and I was going to stay there all the way along the ride. Mm. And then he ended up abandoning me and my young daughters. Mm. And my focus was on my girls. And if you have children, you just want to make sure your kids are okay.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really focusing on my own pain, and that was really buried deeply. And I believe it was for the best because I needed to do what I needed to do then. I was in survival mode then,
right,
to help my kids.
Right. Yeah.
And then after getting into a second marriage and being in a safe place, that's when God said, you know what? Now's the time with the support that you have to deal with this. Mm.
No, that's some real turbulence there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and back to your analogy, the worst pilots in the world, it's the guy that doesn't turn back, but says, we're going to push through this storm. But yet, that's what a lot of us do with the trauma.
Yes.
We go, I'm going to push through this storm.
Right.
Did you try that?
Oh, that's how I live my life. Absolutely.
Just pushing through.
Yes. And when
well,
I would talk about...
You had to be both mom and dad. But, so you had to just push through. You just had to do what
absolutely.
Had to be done.
And I talked about that, really my strengths were optimism and tenacity. those two together. And I thought, tenacity, that is such an amazing strength, but that can also be a weakness as well. Be a weakness as
How
well.
Can that be a weakness? The pushing through idea. I know you said, I read that you had a brain scan.
Yeah.
Or the brain, there was some
brain
kind
training.
Of brain training.
Yes.
Where it actually informed you that pushing through isn't always a good thing.
Yes, exactly. I talk about this in chapter 4 of the book, From Pushing Through to Letting Go. And I discovered this through one of the healing modalities. And I talk about many in the book. And one of them that was really helpful was neurofeedback. And when the doctor, and if you don't know what that is, the listeners listening, it is brain training for you to really optimize your brain and also to heal it from trauma. And so I sat down with Dr. Nathan, and he said, okay, I'm going to hook you up. And they put these little monitors, you know, on your head. And he said, I want you just to sit quietly, and we're going to do a brain training exercise together. And all you need to do is breathe. Just sit quietly and breathe. Close your eyes, sit quietly and breathe. I can do that. So I sat there. I thought I was doing a really great job. And after a few minutes, he stopped me and he said, Janelle, you're not relaxing. And let's just have you relax, just be still and breathe. He said, because actually, instead of your brain calming down, it's revving up. And I thought, well, I can do this. I've got this. And we tried again. And the harder I tried, the worse it got. And finally, he stopped him and he said, Janelle, let me tell you something. Your natural tendency to push through is not helping you here.
Wow.
Your natural tendency to push through is not helping you here. And I had to learn that letting go was the path to healing. I couldn't solve this like a goal that I'm going to achieve. Instead, you have to allow healing to come into your life.
That's interesting. And you're using a lot of medical terminology, and I love when science and scripture come together.
Yes.
Because when you're saying this, I'm thinking, cast your cares on Jesus.
Yes.
You know, don't be anxious for anything, but instead, and it tells us, you know, he tells us all the good things to do. How did your faith and the science work together to point you in the same direction?
That's a great question. Definitely learning to be still, to be still and know that I am God.
Yeah.
I have always been such an achiever and a problem solver, and I want to be in control, a little bit of a control freak, and I'm sure there's people that are listening that feel
yes.
the same way.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes minute by minute surrender to really let go and let God.
Wow.
And I have an exercise actually in the book that I thought I would share with you just to give an example of letting go versus this pushing through.
You're not going to hook up anything to our brains.
I'm not. Right. So I'm going to give you each a rock.
Okay.
So, and this is an exercise in the back of chapter 4. And identify a problem, something that you're trying to solve. It doesn't have to be a big, major thing, but just any problem that maybe you've been trying to solve by pushing through, where you've been trying to control instead of surrender it. So this rock is your problem.
Okay.
And I want you to take a moment and grip the rock. I want you to hold it as tightly as you can. Feel what that feels like in your body. Feel it in your hand, going up your arm, even into your shoulder, that tense feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in contrast, I want you to very slowly open your hand and let that rock go. And just feel now what your hand feels like and that act of letting go and that release and that relaxing in your body. And this is how we often live life and the problems that we have. Mm-hmm. We want to control it.
Mm-hmm.
And the harder we hold on and we grip to that problem, most of the time that's not the way to solve it. But when we let go, when we surrender that to God, when we allow the healing to take shape in our life, it can make such a difference. So
that's beautiful.
I would encourage the listeners who are listening today, think about if there's a problem you've been trying to solve on your own, that maybe you've just been gripping so tight to it, that it's time to just really let go and allow. That's how the healing happened in my life. And one of the Bible stories I talk about in the book is the walls of Jericho coming down.
Yeah.
And sometimes we like the suffering. We're just so used to it.
It feels familiar.
It feels familiar that we don't really want to put our past behind us. Mm-hmm. And just like after marching around the city over and over 7 times, then the walls came down. They don't come back up. Hmm. They're down. And sometimes that's what we need to finally say about our past. Mm. We need to stop reliving it and say, we need to learn from it and heal from it, but then say, those walls of Jericho are down. Praise God. Mm. Let's go forward. Let's have this new beginning that He's created for us.
In thinking about that, though, how do you know, if I'm hearing you say that, and I have a trauma or a pain I'm wanting to let go, how do I really know the difference between I've let it go, mm-hmm. you know, you did all these brain scans to see what was there, but if somebody can't do brain scans, I let it go versus I'm shoving it down. How do you know the main indicator of I'm really letting this go and I'm letting God heal my heart and I'm moving forward versus I'm just shoving it and ignoring it?
Is when you have opened up yourself to really do the work, to face the challenges of what you went through and to be really honest with yourself about how painful it was, maybe how angry you are, how sad you are, going through the grief of it, allowing yourself to feel all of that, all of those emotions versus shoving them down. Mm-hmm. You need to allow them to surface so that you can let them go.
How important was also bringing other people into your story and getting counseling? I know you had medical help,
yes.
But how important was that?
Incredibly important. You need to have that inner circle that you can trust, who are praying for you, who are walking the journey with you, and who know that there's going to be ups and downs along the way, because it's not an overnight fix. It does take the work, but if you're willing to do the work, you're going to find yourself in a completely different place after doing this very hard work for a couple of years. And actually, the neurofeedback for 6 months, I went back in and they were able to show me, do another brain scan and say, Janelle, you've turned off the alarm.
Mm. Wow, praise God.
So, yeah. And you feel different and people now see me as different and say, you have this inner peace and harmony like you've never had before. And so you feel it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, so the subtitle of your book is How to Turn the Pain of Your Past into a Future of Freedom, Purpose, and Peace. And great for you. You saw the doctor, you did the hard work. Is it really possible, you think, for everybody else?
100%. 100%. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd like to share with our listeners is if you are feeling without hope today, if you are feeling stuck, if there's something that's from your past that's really holding you back from this best future, there is hope, my friend. You can do the work and you can find yourself in this beautiful place where you find new purpose, a more authentic you, and you can really live with peace and joy.
I believe you. I believe you. And if you want someone to pray with you right now, as a first step perhaps, pick up the phone. We've got people who will pray with you. And this, I say it's a first step because that's what it is. You've got some hard work to do. But just as Janelle has told you, there is hope. There is freedom. There is peace. You can get past your past. There are some other people that we're going to turn to now who are in a place that seems hopeless, oftentimes in places of conflict or war. You have the ability not only to put your past in the past and to find that purpose, but to help others in that same way. Watch this and you'll see how you can be that hope, that peace, that break from trauma for someone. And I hope you'll do it.
Each day, women in this region of South Asia walk for miles, spending hours to provide water for their families. Amariti, a single mom, travels in this boat to collect water from the middle of the lake. She says the water here is cleaner and does not smell as bad as the water close to the shore. But the reality is, the distance is no guarantee the water is safe. This is Varju, a grandmother several times over. She will make 4 to 5 trips each day, walking these steep rocky hills for more than 2 miles to collect her water from this open pit. The daily trip not only takes a toll on her physically, but the water makes her and her grandchildren sick. For Jeanku to meet her family's needs for just one day, she must go morning, noon, and evening to this stream to collect her water. She pours it through this cloth in an effort to strain out the impurities. But even with her best efforts, this water often turns deadly. Thousands of women like Amariti, Varju, and Jeanku have spent their entire lives striving to collect the cleanest water they can. The reality is, they are bringing diseased water to their families because they have no other choice. But the good news is we can give them a choice by drilling water wells in their villages. Once the fresh, clean water is capped with a hand pump, people can be freed from the hardships of spending hours collecting water. And more importantly, waterborne illnesses and disease will be a thing of the past.
Yes, we give them a choice, but that we involves you. You give them that choice, the choice of whatever water supply is available, which may or may not make you sick, and for the young especially, may or may not kill you. You give them that choice. You could give them clean drinking water. An average well costs about $4,800, and that's because we go in some very difficult places and we drill very deep and we encase that thing so that it's gonna last for a lifetime. We do it right. We give them water for life. You may not be able to drill an entire well by yourself, I understand. Your gift of $48 would actually provide clean drinking water for life for 10 people on average. A gift of $144 would provide that for 30 people. So when you think about those faces you just saw and the other faces around the world where people are suffering, people are hurting, where they've lost loved ones, or they're facing sickness as a child, know that you can give them the gift of life. You know, Belinda, we've been doing this for many years now. I think the number's around like 9,500 wells throughout the history.
Amazing.
And yet there is still such great need. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Bible talks about not growing weary of doing good.
Yeah.
And that's where I draw excitement and energy and go, you know what? We can do good. And not just a good work, but a God work.
Yes.
Because we always go with the gospel. It's a privilege.
It is a privilege. And I think about the mom who, as a mom, I make so many decisions every day to keep my kids safe,
yeah.
to keep my kids healthy. What can I do? And I watch a mom who rows her boat to the middle of a lake or a pond so she can possibly make the safest choice for her child. And I just want to encourage you, today you have the choice that you can help link arms with us to help those moms who are trying to make the best decision. The decision can be made for them. That mom can now go to the safe place to get safe water, and that can be because of you and because of what we do together to give clean water to them for life.
Yeah.
No amount is too small. Every gift means so much to them.
Yeah, and you know, it's really a matter, I think, of obedience, where God is giving us this opportunity. And if He's speaking to you right now, do it as an act of obedience and do what He says, and you'll be blessed, and you will have joy, and you will bless someone else and bring them joy. You can put a smile on the face of someone today. So we ask that you join us in Water for Life. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift that you can.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, fresh drinking water, free from the fear of death. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Discovering the Joy of Reading God's Word. Whether you've read the Bible for years or are just beginning, this book invites you to experience Scripture in a fresh, more intimate way. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request a Life of Compassion coffee table book, capturing Life Outreach's heart for the world. Each page pairs timeless Bible verses with vivid mission field photography, making God's Word visible in action. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request Life's beautiful 2026 bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I do hope you're going online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can. You are such a blessing in someone's life, and God wants to be a blessing in your life. We appreciate you. And Janelle, we appreciate you being here. Now, if someone wants to pick up Your Way Back to Happy, I know everybody sells it where you get books, but you've got something special.
I do. So go pick up the book, Amazon or wherever books are sold, and then go to my website, which is www.legacy-leader.com.
Okay.
And there is a book that you can download there with 10 strategies to calm yourself. And it's just some great strategies there. And anyone who picks up the book, let me know there, and I'm going to send you a free copy of a workbook that goes along with Your Way Back to Happy so that you can do all of the exercises in this workbook. And that is yours for free if you pick up a copy of this book.
Perfect. Very helpful. Thank you.
That's very helpful. Thank you, Janelle, for being with us. And thank you for watching us today. We've enjoyed being with you today. We'll see you next time.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news with the Life Today social media experience.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Dr. Robert Jeffress exposes Satan's behind-the-scenes, vicious, and destructive plan for each one of us.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.